This is a London Undone podcast. My name is Catherine Cartwright. These podcasts give you an audible insight into some curious places around London. This series focuses on the historic and at times peculiar City of London churches, their histories, features, associations, and their spiritual lives. St Nicholas Cole Abbey lies near the top of Queen Victoria Street, just southeast of St Paul's Cathedral. The lane running along the church's eastern end is called Old Fish Street Hill, and it was around this church that the first fish market operated from. The earliest mention of the church was in 1144, but by Elizabeth I's reign, there's a record of a cistern set up against the north wall with lead pipes to supply water for the fishmongers. The church was gutted in the Great Fire and was one of the earliest churches to be rebuilt by Christopher Wren afterwards, completed in 1677. Along with many other city churches, it was ruined in the Blitz, but restored by Arthur Bailey by 1962. Noticeable on the outside is the unusual trumpet-shaped spire, which has windows on it that look a little bit like portholes, and standing on top of that is a weather vane. It's of a rather lovely golden ship, which once sailed over St Michael Queenhithe. A happy connection, given the fishmonger associations. Outside the church is a sign advertising coffee, and it entices me in. The climb up the steps to the main southern entrance is worth it. Opening the doors, you let yourself into a big, open space, with no columns or divisions. It's airy and light, and the smell of coffee fills the air. Throughout this podcast, you'll hear the voices of Susie, who runs the Wren Coffee Shop, Alexandra Epps, who runs Art in the City, and Chris Fishlock, who's the minister at St Nicholas Cole Abbey.
My name is Susie, and I'm head of coffee and food at the Wren Coffee here at St Nicholas Cole Abbey.
How long have you been operating here?
It's about 3 or 4 years.
Have you worked in coffee shops before?
I have, yes. I've worked in a specialty coffee shop before, yes.
What's different about this one?
This is quite different being in the City of London. You have a lot of people coming from local offices and also mixed with people who are tourists coming to look at St Paul's Cathedral, visiting London for the first time. So we have people come from all over the world, which is amazing and really great.
But the front of your coffee bar is carved wood.
Yes.
Do you know anything about it?
Now, the guy that designed it and started the coffee shop, Andrew, came in the other day, told me a bit about it. It is Christopher Wren's original design for the City of London that was rejected due to various cost or practical reasons, but it was his vision for the way the city should be built.
Yeah, that's originally. Exactly right.
Yeah. We have large tourist groups coming in just to look at it.
Really?
Yeah, we have people doing Christopher Wren tours around the area, and we'll get groups of people coming in and taking a look at the building and at the woodwork on the bar, because it's stunning, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful piece of carving, and it's got a nice story behind it. How does the coffee shop side merge with the sort of spiritual side of this building?
I think people do find it quite a peaceful place to come. It's quite busy out in the City of London, the hustle and bustle, and it does have a sense of peace and restfulness and quiet, which people enjoy. I think that's the reason why some people come here.
It's quite noisy in here because we're in St Nicholas Cole Abbey, which is a coffee shop.
And how great to have a coffee in a Wren church.
It is wonderful just to come into this big space and appreciate the surroundings while nursing a nice hot chocolate.
I think it's great to open up and use the building during the week if it's not going to be used otherwise. I think it sort of reduces that barrier that some people might have if they're not sure about what a Christian church is like.
What's it like being in this space?
Oh, this space is beautiful. The light through the windows is great, especially when the sun shines through the stained glass. It looks really stunning.
We've come in here to admire the windows.
Well, the windows, they're 1962, and they're by an artist called Keith New.
So there are three windows here,
in the east wall of St Nicholas.
It's the theme of Christ's message being spread across the world. And so we've got these great swoops, like the kind of four rivers or the four gospels, all swooping, joining the windows together. And in the middle, we've got St Nicholas himself in his little boat. Can you see the mast has got the cross on the top? And he's contained within the sort of circle. And he's holding the three coins. You know, you often see him with three circles, because he's the patron saint of travellers, merchants, and also children, you know, that origination of Christmas. He took pity on a poor widow who had three children, and he didn't have money for their dowries. And he threw three purses of golden coins over the wall that went down the chimney into the fireplace where their stockings were hanging, and there was the money. And if you look on this side, you've got the actual church of St Nicholas, Cole Abbey itself, which obviously isn't an abbey, you know, the name was, it's a derivation of Cold Harbour. But can you see it's got the crosses pointing in the four directions, so it's spreading the message out across the world.
On the left-hand side, as you said, there's the church itself, hovering almost.
Yes.
It looks almost like it's a drone in my view, but with the crosses around it. And then
it's hard to see today, but up in the top right-hand corner, there's a crescent moon and a sun all combined together. Yeah. Often the moon represents the Old Testament and the sun, the New Testament. So you see that again and again. And then over here, it's the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit.
This is on the right-hand
on the right-hand
window.
Side. Is it
south.
But they're like these great big exploding seed pods. So this whole movement linking them, but the details that I love are the details at the bottom, because it's showing all of the countries of the globe. We've got the Americas here. Can you see you've got the igloos,
yeah,
the teepees, the towers, the skyscrapers. Beneath this one, which we can't see at the moment because there's a screen in the way, you've got the towers and the domes of Europe. And then here, you've got the minarets and the domes of Asia and Africa. So it's all these little clues across the world. But can you see the way he is using this very thick, strong black line? It has this real coiled energy. I always feel that they're a bit like a spring that's just going to go, you know, at any minute. He's taking the actual lines of the individual pieces of glass and doing this brushwork sort of on top of it to emphasise that thick line, and then scratching out, getting all the different textures and the different tones, and the flash of the red within the seed pods, the way the different blues are meeting, it all makes it very dynamic, very lively. It's so beautiful, but with this thick, heavy black line that it's still so sensitive.
It's almost sooty as well.
You know, if you look here, you can see where the individual pieces of glass are. He's painting over that, making it even blacker.
Yeah.
And it's got that smudgy feeling. It's like a charcoal drawing, isn't it?
This church also has the windows on all sides.
Yes, so there's
a
lot of light, isn't there?
There's a lot of light. And because the other windows are plain or clear glass.
Yes.
The stained glass particularly stands out.
I think it's because there's nothing else around them. It's because we're in a big open space. We've got higher ceilings. We've got grander proportions in here, haven't we?
Yeah, it is.
So I think that's probably why they're more powerful in that way. I think we should go and look at them closely, and then you can actually see the texture of them, because they really are quite remarkable. These also look lovely from the outside. Somebody said to me, oh, we ought to get all the city churches to leave their lights on all night so we can see the windows from outside. I thought, I don't think they'd be able to afford that.
It's light and airy, it's spacious, and it's just a gorgeous, beautiful building to look at from the inside. It's a pleasure to work here, yeah.
My name is Chris Fishlock, and I'm the minister here at St Nicholas Cole Abbey.
As I remember this church, when I was training to be a city guide 15 years ago. It was completely boarded up and nobody used it. Can you tell me when it opened up?
We had a wonderful opportunity. The diocese, in conversation with me and a group of others who were based over in Fleet Street, said that there was this unused church building that had been boarded up for, I think, 10 years when we first started speaking. And over a period of about 18 months, raised money and jumped through all of the hoops of English heritage and various sort of faculties that were needed, and managed to get the place opened up again and useful for ministry activities that are conducive to city life. To complement all of those, we opened a coffee shop as well, which runs alongside the ministry activities of the church.
The building itself, do you feel a connection to the building? I think that's what I'm asking, or not? Could you be anywhere?
I think there's one level where we've got to be incredibly grateful for those that had the foresight in history past to build impressive buildings which cannot be touched by city planners. What an incredible opportunity for us to have this huge footprint of land in the middle of the city. It'd be worth a fortune if it was commercial space. So from that perspective, I am very, very grateful to have this impressive rain shelter, which is the Christopher Wren building, St. Nicholas Cole Abbey. I'm sorry if that horrifies some of your listeners. It's a useful space, but it's primarily the usefulness rather than the beauty that I would say is what excites me.
For somebody who doesn't really go to church or maybe even been into a church, what would you say to them? What kind of a church are you? Mm. That sounds really rude. What kind of church are you?
Yeah, well, that's a very good question. What would I say to somebody who, I mean, people came here, they'd be encouraged to listen, to join in, to discuss, to raise questions, and to really consider what the historical facts about Jesus mean for them today. What we try and do here every week, every time somebody comes in, is open up some aspect of the Bible. We typically work through books. We teach people what it says and ask them to sort of make the connections for what that might mean in their life today. Half of the city workforce, that's about 250,000 people, are made up of Generation Y. I think that's up to about the age of 30 today. And that's a huge unreached group within our United Kingdom population. And so we see that as the primary group that we're trying to reach with the good news of Jesus Christ.
The man who gave the sermon,
yes.
He seemed very young.
Yes, he is.
It seems it's interesting from coming from the outside that I can see you're trying to reach the younger people, actually.
I love the coffee. I'm so passionate about it. And I think, you know, we do use a roaster that is very ethical. It's very careful the way they source their coffee, the way they roast their coffee. So that's why we like to shout about it. And I think that's why people come back.
The way you describe it so passionately, and it's almost like the coffee itself is its own form of religion.
Nowadays it is. Yeah, and for a lot of people that is their morning ritual is to come and get their cup of coffee, take a moment out, come and have a pour over, wait for a few minutes and just stop and reflect. And I think that's a great way of serving our local community here.
When anyone walks in here, fresh off the street, what do you want them to feel?
The smell of coffee, the words of Jesus.